And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Will here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well.
Doing
Joe
great.
Rex Road.
Super.
You are doing great.
Nice Skiatika shirt today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I got my Tasty Twist shirt on.
That's nice too.
You ever want amazing ice cream? Go to Tasty Twist in East Lansing, Michigan.
I'll do that.
So these people, real quick story about Tasty Twist, now that I'm on that real fast. So they had this little stand, you know, like this classic little ice cream stand, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's like the little tiny one. I mean, it's like, how do they even have room back there to, like, make ice cream, you know? And you go, you walk up. It had been there since forever. Who knows how long it had been there. So then some people bought them out of there because they wanted to move to a bigger place, which they did.
Okay.
But the people who bought them out, they were going to do something totally different with the place. So instead, they changed the name to Tasty Treat, and they tried to have the same lettering. And so it was this huge thing in town where it was like, do not go to Tasty Treat. That's fake.
That's right.
Not the real people.
Imposters.
Yeah, imposters. So that's gone now, but the Tasty Twist in a bigger place is still going. Great
still going.
Turtle. Great Turtle Sunday.
Still going strong.
Yep. There you go.
Shout out Tasty Twist.
Shout out. Not a sponsor, but you know, I could give them a call.
Yeah.
I mean, I can endorse their ice cream.
From states away. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Why not? Why not?
Ice cream at 6 a.m. I love it.
Yeah. From Michigan.
From Michigan.
Why not? Outside the box.
That's right. Did you watch any of that New York Giants Washington football team barn burner we saw last night? I hesitate. It's back-to-back pretty good Thursday night football games. Now, one of them was to begin the season, so it's a little bit different. But back-to-back pretty good Thursday night football games.
Well, first of all, I did not watch it to the end. I'm watching the highlights behind you right now. I watched some of it. And, yeah, it's a game like that better be good. You know, it better be competitive. You know, because that's like the, oh, we're back to Thursday night football.
Yep.
I mean, it's kind of pathetic that this early in the season, you know, you'd take any football for granted, and yet that's what I did last night.
That's what I kind of did last night, too. Look, I watched a little bit of it, but there's only so much Daniel Jones, Taylor Heineke football that one can endure, although both played pretty well last night.
Daniel Jones running around.
He's running around, man.
And you know, at least
didn't trip this time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he got in the end zone on that QB draw. So I was still watching then. Saquon Barkley looked good. He ran well. So that's good to see.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have the big blunder, the offsides for the Giants. So the missed field goal becomes a shorter made field goal.
Kind of a Jeremy Pruitt way to lose a football game, wouldn't you say?
Well, actually, well.
Well, you got to stay onside when the kicker's kicking the ball. Got to line up onside.
See, this would be a teaching moment. He could teach Blake Topmeyer about the rules
first
of football
down marker. Got to stay on your side of the football, Blake.
The Dooley Pruitt influence on the Giants. So far,
not working out well.
Not paying off.
0-2 for the Giants. Maybe Joe Judge will fight his way out of this.
There's a stat. The fifth straight season that they have started 0-2.
Mm.
Maybe they should actually be in New York.
My goodness.
Maybe so. Get out of New Jersey. Get in New York.
So if any of those – I'm trying to think. The last time a team played in New York would have been the Jets. I mean, the Giants have been in the – they were in the Meadowlands way, way back. So the Jets were in Shea, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So if either of them were in New York, you would root for them?
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Instead,
such a jersey.
She's transitioning
hater.
To the Bills.
Whoa, Robbie. That was a hot take way too early this morning.
Even though she hates Buffalo Wings, transitioning to the Bills.
I like Buffalo Wings, Robbie.
Hey, she has the last laugh here, the Steelers beating the Bills.
Yep. We've got Pigskin Pick'em coming up today at 9:30. I've really been dreading this day for a long time. And by long time, I mean the last 7 days.
Because
then we get to recap my 0-6 performance coming up.
Incredible.
The best thing is, it's going to be impossible for me to do worse this week.
Oh, and look, I mean, you're three games back.
I know.
I mean, it's three games that, and we both got our lock.
We got our locks. But unless still, you go 0-6 again.
It's early, yeah.
Oh, I could go
0-6
again.
But that's amazing. That's like really hard to do. Yeah,
thank you.
No problem.
Yeah, appreciate it. You know, I talked about having a better start to the competitions because, let's be honest, Preds picked a click, NSC picked a click. It's not gone well for me. Now we're off to a rough start in Pigskin Pick'em. Maybe it's just me.
Well, you did okay in Pigskin Pick'em last year. You beat me.
I did.
So it's not all bad. Plus, you're on a hot streak on NSC picked a click.
Yeah, one of my last two.
I mean, that's a great percentage. Pretty good. You can always find the bright side.
Some news coming out at halftime of the Washington football team and Giants game last night. The Indianapolis Colts taking part in Hard Knocks in the season. So we've already seen Hard Knocks with the Dallas Cowboys, which by all accounts was pretty underwhelming. Now we'll see the Indianapolis Colts in the season. Comes out in November. That'll be interesting to see how this works with a team during the course of an NFL season. They've not tried that before.
Yeah. I'd be more excited about this if Hard Knocks hadn't, to me, fallen way off recently. Yeah. I think that it's been limited a lot, and probably just by various teams, but it's not as good, in my opinion. Hopefully this is interesting. But honestly, when I saw that, I was like, okay. Didn't have a lot of excitement for it. It is interesting. You know, it's a little bit of intel on the Colts.
I'd like to see the Titans on there.
Yeah, the Titans on Hard Knocks at all. They're one of how many teams that haven't been on it? Like three or
many,
four,
yeah.
Right? Titans and Lions. You know, the people demand both.
That's right.
On Hard Knocks.
Little Dan Campbell, Mike Vrabel action.
I'm trying to remember I don't remember the Colts. The Colts have had a regular one ever?
I don't think so.
I don't remember the Colts ever having one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hopefully it's interesting, you know? That's.
I'm just trying to think of like who on the Colts really is all that interesting from a personality standpoint.
Well, I'm sure.
They have people.
Yeah, I mean, every team has stories. That's what their job is, to find stories.
Sure.
That we don't know. I'm sure there's great stories to tell.
I just don't know if it's Carson Wentz.
Darius Leonard.
He's an interesting guy.
He is.
Darius Leonard.
A great
player. Got a good personality.
Yeah.
And his story.
I mean, the thing about Hard Knocks that has appeal to me is that the football hasn't started yet,
yep.
And so everybody's hungry for football, and so here's more football to get you excited for the football. Now we have football.
That's a lot of football.
Yeah, and, like, it's being played now, so who's taking time out of their day? I mean, some Colts fans will to watch this, but can't say I will. I'll probably watch clips that people say are really interesting.
So you were not fired up last night about the news?
No, sorry.
It's okay. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ben starting us off on the right foot this morning with a nice trade hypothetical question. Crazy question, and not realistic. That's a good way to start. But would y'all sign up for trading a first-rounder for Justin Tucker? He's still the best kicker in the NFL. Let's say he is in 3 years from now as well. I'm not trading a first-round pick for a kicker.
No, no.
You're right. I mean, it's not realistic.
Yeah, and he's also not super young either. I don't know how old exactly he is. I'm going to Google it right now. But he's been around a bit. He's, you know, great kicker, but I don't think
he's 31.
Yeah, and again, that means he could have 10 more years. But no, I would not trade a first round pick. Remember, also, if we're talking about this particular team, they just traded a second round pick for Julio Jones. So you got to have – just because you haven't been drafting well lately doesn't mean that you stop drafting.
That is the strategy.
Keep drafting.
From some Titans fans is, well, we don't trust J-Rob to draft well anyway, so just trade.
Trade all your picks for veterans?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that would work really well in a salary cap league. Yeah. Nah, I wouldn't do it. I mean, they need to find a kicker for sure. And by the way
– look, maybe it's Randy Bullock. We're just tossing Randy Bullock aside before he even kicks a field goal for the Titans.
We'll see. Maybe he goes 5 for 5 like Gostkowski did last year at Minnesota. We had Craig Aukerman yesterday, and I asked him, was McCann your plan, you know? Was McCann, it had been a couple years, And he didn't. I mean, he didn't directly answer it. He's just like, yeah, you know, I feel terrible for Tucker. So, I mean, it's one of those things where if someone is now gone, no, it was probably a long shot that anyone would confirm. Like, yeah, actually, Tucker McCann was. We had all our hopes and dreams tied to him, and then he got a serious injury, and we've moved on.
Right.
But it was a long time that they invested in him, and again, it was starting. It looked like it was starting to pay off big time. And then the injury. So, who knows? Maybe you're right. Maybe Bullock. Any of these guys are good enough to have hot stretches. And sometimes the light goes on, and a kicker who's been sort of up and down finds consistency. This is possible.
I just hope that we don't come in on Monday morning, and the thing we're talking about is Randy Bullock costing the Titans a game. Like I would like to avoid that storyline. Because quite frankly, we've talked a lot about kickers the last couple of years. A lot of kicker conversation.
Yeah, listening to Darren Donick and Chase yesterday, they had some funny stuff. They had people sending in like, you know, Mark Mosley and various retired kickers. But they had Cale Anderson on, and they were talking a lot about kicker. And someone brought up the point like, gosh, can we talk about something else?
Yeah.
That should just be, I mean, for all the those years Suckup was here, no one ever talked about kicker. Other than like, wow, how did Ryan Succop make that field goal at Kansas City?
Right.
Yeah, he, you know, here and there he missed one, but it was just a given.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. You want it to be kickers, like offensive linemen, like officials. They're better when they are talked about, like long snappers. If they're talked about a lot, that means it's not going well.
Ben texts back in, would you trade Julio Jones for Justin Tucker then?
Yes. That isn't, Julio's a total disaster. Yes. Total regret by the organization.
Thank you, Ben. Off to a hot start this morning. When we come back, Taylor Lewan spoke yesterday for the first time after his game since Sunday, and some interesting comments from the Titans left tackle. We'll get to more of those coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Watching the game, I got too excited. Kind of maybe like got a little over excited before the game, and when the game came I felt drained and legs felt heavy and had more anxiety. I was more worried about messing up than I was being better, you know, like or helping the team. And you know, I think I was trying to compensate in a certain couple of ways for my knee, and you know, I've spent a long time in this league and have had a lot of success. And through those things, like year two with Whitney Mercilus having a similar game, it's something that I have to overcome and work through. And I plan on doing those things. So, you know, it's not easy, the tough 24 hours, but you got to get over it and move on and hopefully play better next week.
That was Titans left tackle Taylor Lewan yesterday after practice talking about his performance against the Cardinals on Sunday. And some interesting comments there, Joe Rexrode, about maybe trying to overcompensate for his knee and just the way the game went for Taylor Lewan against Chandler Jones. He knows that it wasn't good. Used some more colorful language in the press conference as well to describe how not good it was against Chandler Jones on Sunday. So I think we know exactly where Taylor Lewan stands in terms of how he feels about that game on Sunday. Going to be really interesting to see how he responds coming up this Sunday against Seattle. Really looking forward to seeing what Taylor Lewan looks like coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, it was look, Taylor Lewan, it's always interesting when he talks. And
it is.
I mean, it was interesting enough yesterday that I was like, I'm going right to the computer and I'm going to transcribe the whole thing and put it up on The Athletic because it's, you know, it was, and that's very, you know, rare, like a presser for the most part. There's a lot of fluff. There's a lot of, coach speak. There's a lot of player speak, whatever you want to call it, speak. This was there's some good stuff in here, and even talking about, you know, being booed, things like that. But like the anxiety he had, the fact that he was like so jacked up on Monday for the game, then he was like drained. And again, it sounds like excuses. I think how people take this, and I've even noticed this in the comments here. It's kind of like if you're anti Lewan, and you've been anti Lewan, you look at this and say, all right, shut up, go play. Don't want to hear your excuses. I think if you're pro Lewan, or even I think if you're down the middle, which is probably most people, on most things it's still like most people are sort of, okay, open-minded.
Yeah.
I would think you'd look at this and say, wow, there's some real there's some real stuff in there from him on this. But like he said, he's right. Like, I can sit here and say blah, 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 this and that. That was wrong. We'll see Sunday.
We will see Sunday. And you mentioned maybe some interesting comments from Taylor Lewan about the boos that he heard from the fans in the stadium. We talked about that on Monday, given the performance, not only with the Titans overall, but Taylor Lewan specifically. And Lewan was asked about that yesterday, and if he heard the fans booing him in the stadium. Here's what Taylor Lewan had to say yesterday at Titans practice.
You know, that is, like, Chandler Jones is a stud, right? Like, there's no denying he dummied me all day. Like, I'm not going to live in, like, oh, this, or I did this or that. Like, I have to be accountable. Like, I wasn't accountable in that game to my team, to myself, to my family, to everyone watching, to you guys, to the fans. And, you know, you go in, you get an IV, and you're cramping, you come back out, and they announce that I'm back in the game, and you get booed from the fans. And, you know, that stuff happens, man. It hurt, but at the same time, the way I was playing, I don't blame them. You know, they want the team to do well. They're not just booing for me. So I'm sorry for letting them down.
So I thought Taylor Lewan handled that pretty well. Lots of honesty there from Taylor Lewan. I thought he handled that question pretty well.
I think it clearly bothered him.
I think so.
That he got booed, and I don't blame him. I don't blame the boos either, but I also don't blame him for being bothered by it, because obviously you're talking about a guy who's done a lot of good things here for quite a while. It's still amazing, again, with the anti-Lewan crowd. I'm getting this. He has been bad all along, and, you know, media gives him a pass. I'm like, there's no way you watch football then.
He's been pretty good.
Yeah, come on. I don't know if he's been the best left tackle in the game. I wouldn't say that. I say here and there he has a not great game or a costly play, but boy, well, he's had a lot of good ones.
He's largely been something that you don't have to worry about in terms of protection. Now, I mean, look, there's always been a maturity question around Taylor Lewan, or, you know, the personal fouls early in his career, the penalties. It was out of control. So it's not been perfect, but, you know, for the most part, the last few years, you've not really had to worry about that position because he's been there and he's played well. So I think the best thing you could probably say about your left tackle in the NFL is, yeah, we don't really worry about that side of the ball because we know he's going to handle it one-on-one. And for the most part, Taylor Lewan has. He did not on Sunday, and that's why I think it's as big of a story as it was, because it's not usual. We don't see Taylor Lewan get beat like that. We've seen him get beat before. Well, I don't know if I've ever seen him get beat like that. That's crazy.
Not even close. He was talking about, you know, Whitney Merciless doing this to him early in his career. But I know that since I've been here, so this is a 6th year I've watched him play, I've never seen anything like that. Not even close. Yeah, here and there, you know, it's going to happen.
Sure.
But way more good than bad. And, you know, if people think he's, you know, overrated or overpaid, or you want to move on from him, you know, get into a game of musical chairs at left tackle. See how you enjoy that when you have a right-handed quarterback. It's not good. And for the most part, they're all right-handed.
Put Kendall Lamb there.
We saw that.
Yeah. Yes, we did.
We saw that. I mean, we saw Tyson Brailo there and David Questenberry last year too, and it wasn't a disaster, but that is owed a lot to Arthur Smith and adjustment, and it did hurt the offense. Or at least it made the offense adjust and do things that it didn't want to do. I mean, I think that I think it would have been, for all the records that were broken, it would have been better. And that's why you pay him. So I don't know. Like, I don't know if he's gonna in 1 week, you know, make this huge transition to all of a sudden he looks like Taylor Lewan again. But I'll be surprised if he's the story Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I will be too. Again, like you said, I don't think he's going to be all the way back to prime Taylor Lewan on Sunday. But part of this, and I've brought this up several times this week, part of this is just pride, right? Like, when you get your butt whipped that bad, I would imagine you're going to see a pretty motivated Taylor Lewan on Sunday. Now, my question and my hope for that would be, you know, motivated Taylor Lewan is great. You also still need to be the Taylor Lewan that plays between the whistles and not after the whistle. Got to keep that going while you're trying to rebound and kind of make up for last week. Because sometimes I think you can try to do too much.
Yeah. And that's true. And again, that's one of those things that's kind of – it's become less of a concern, but it's still there. Here's a comment on the story from Tyler R. Says, could have had Laramie Tunsil instead.
All righty.
There was talk of the Titans drafting Laramie Tunsil the night they drafted Jack Conklin. They drafted an offensive tackle that night.
One of the most intriguing draft stories of all time, Laramie Tunsil.
That was one of my best tweets ever.
See if we can find it. What'd you say?
It was something about Cheetos. It was a Cheetos tweet. Basically, I think it was something like they put out a press release, but it had Cheetos fingerprints on it.
Okay.
If anybody remembers the story of Laramie Tunsil, there was video of him with a gas mask.
Oh, yes. We remember.
With the billows of smoke, which, again, is like...
Which came out conveniently like 45 minutes before the draft started.
Okay. Oh, right. Well, yes. Or was it 40?
Maybe right as the draft started.
Right as the draft started, yes. I thought. But, yeah. Which, again, like, first of all, it's just hilarious. And I think it shows you, like, if that happened now... Would anybody care? Like, I don't know why anybody cared in 2016 either, but it's like marijuana had this big, you know, stigma. It's like, oh, marijuana, but here, take some OxyContin for your pain.
Yes.
Load up on that stuff. But you can't smoke any weed.
Yeah.
But some people apparently were scared off by it.
Apparently so.
But yeah, anyway, a nice munchies joke is always appropriate.
Yes, it is.
When weed's involved. Yeah, could have had Laramie Tunsil instead. Got Jack Conklin, who was an all-pro. And also Taylor Lewan was great, and that was a huge part of why they were 9-7 that year after going, you know, 3-13 the year before.
I found one tweet from April 28, 2016 from Joe Rexroad. I don't think this is it, but anyone think a team is going to pass on a guy like Tunsil because he smoked some pot? I'd be more impressed. Good shape despite the munchies.
That's okay. Dang it. You couldn't find my Cheetos tweet?
I searched. I hadn't found it yet. I'll keep looking. Sometimes it's a process.
I mean, I think maybe I just thought it. Did I just think the tweet?
Maybe so.
I dreamed of tweeting about Cheetos and munchies. Cheetos fingerprints, man.
Yeah.
Like the press release about Laramie Tunsil, and it's got Cheetos fingerprints on it. That's gold. That's comedy gold.
That's right. When we come back, we'll get a little bit into Shane Bowen and the defense's performance this past Sunday and what that means as they try to transition to the Seahawks, including some very interesting comments from Marcus Spears on the functionality of the Titans defense and what he saw on Sunday. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations, member FDIC, equal housing lender, streaming on Twitch, on Twitter, and on YouTube. Today and every day, our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Konezvic, intern Will here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we've spent a lot of time this week discussing Todd Downing and the performance of the Titans offense, a very lackluster performance, starting, of course, at the line of scrimmage and not being able to block in the run game, block in the passing game, and when you have that combination, pretty tough to get anything going offensively. But what about on the other side of the ball? We know how much of a story Shane Bowen was last year, being the defensive coordinator without really being the defensive coordinator. And now he has officially been named DC by Mike Vrabel. His first game as the official defensive coordinator on Sunday. And the Titans, although I think you and I would both agree, they had some good moments on defense and a couple of good individual performances. They did still give up 38 points on the defensive side of the ball. And we've not talked a ton about that in terms of what Shane Bowen did on Sunday and the defensive operation as a whole. There were some really interesting comments that people kind of pointed out to us on Twitter a couple of days ago from Marcus Spears of ESPN, and he was breaking down the Titans game against Arizona and what the Titans did on the defensive side of the ball. And I think it's fair to say Marcus Spears not a big fan of what he saw on the defensive side of the ball from the Tennessee Titans. Here's what Marcus Spears from ESPN had to say.
Kyler Murray runs
Mighty Mouse.
Mighty Mouse runs a, I don't even know what you call it, D.O., but it's a fake zone, and it's a keeper, yeah. a QB keeper. And the
end man down in the red zone?
Yeah, the end man on the line of scrimmage, you know this, the end man on the line of scrimmage, shoulders are turned towards the sideline.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Everything you learn about playing football on the end of the line is to keep square until it's an absolute close down to the ball.
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two, A.J. Green runs up the sideline. They're in zone. Yeah. They're in zone. And the DB bites on the underneath route and drops A.J. Green off, and it's a shot in the hole. You go cover zero in the red zone. I'm pissed off about this defense, y'all. You go cover three in the red zone with Kyler Murray. Cool. You want to pressure? You want to get the ball out of his hands? Cool. Tell your DB, don't run up on Christian Kirk and jam in zero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, just keep a little room. And
he
then
gonna run by you.
He gonna run by you. And then D-Hop, cover one, okay? You got Byard, a safety, covering DeAndre Hopkins in the slot. DeAndre Hopkins catch a quick pass, spin out, and scores a touchdown.
You're talking about the touchdown, yeah.
No, come on, man. Pressure. Like, so beyond getting beat, people can get beat. This is the league. Bro, competence. That defense was so undisciplined.
So those were some obviously pretty strong comments from Marcus Spears there, providing a couple examples of plays and reactions from the Titans defense that he just didn't really like, and said, you know, it's the league. You're going to get beat on occasion, but you got to have some competence that you display back there as well. What did you think of those comments from Marcus Spears as it relates to the Titans defense?
Well, first of all, thanks to friend of the show, Kenston, who tweeted that at me yesterday. So it was interesting. And it's also, well, first of all, there's kind of conflicting thoughts on one play that we'll get to here. But this is an interesting point he made about Elijah Molden. And he said, you know, you don't press in zero. You don't, you know, if you, like in the slot, you don't press if you don't have a safety back. And obviously, Elijah Molden got torched at the line and gave up an easy touchdown.
Yep.
But the question, and Kaharski asked Bowen about this yesterday, was about the Byard TD, which was, why weren't they pressing? So, like, Broadway Sports had a thing wrote up about that play. And then I asked Bowen, like, so the Bowen's answer is, basically, they were trying to disguise a blitz. It was second down. It wasn't an obvious, you're going to bring pressure to try to get the ball out of his hands quickly. You're trying to disguise a blitz and catch them off guard. But also, as who the heck was that in the clip?
Marcus Spears.
Marcus Spears. As Spears just said, if you're in zero, you're not going to press across the board. But I asked Bowen, but with Byard on that play. So I asked Bowen, was he in the right spot? He said, yeah, and Hopkins made a play. I mean, to me, I feel like you should be more playing the sticks if you're Byard there. I mean, again, think about that matchup. You're matching up your safety, very good safety, but you're matching up your safety with Hopkins. So if you're not pressing, which you shouldn't, I mean, like, again, the question was, should you press? I mean, to me, no, you don't press there. You're not pressing Byard on Hopkins. But you better be there on the catch to tackle him. And he wasn't. I mean, yes, Hopkins made a great spin, but he had the space to make the spin move and leave Byard. Whereas to me, with that kind of play, I would think that you would want Byard on the sticks. And because again, we talk so much about press or off. Well, there's still, you know, within the universe of off coverage, there's a couple yards off. There's playing the sticks. There's way. I mean,
there's you 14 yards off. Yeah, I mean.
Right, so I understand, like, in general, I think Paul's question has to do with this year we've talked about, you guys have talked about, going to be more aggressive, going to press more. That's typically with your outside corners. And in various looks, you can press. You can press in zone and man. But, like, again, you're never going to press across the board. You're not going to – and certainly if you're in a zero look where you're blitzing and you're basically just man across the board, like that play – you're certainly not going to – but you got to – to me, you got to be in a better position to make a play.
Well, you're not going to press every time either, because I think there's Titans fans out there that oh my gosh, they're playing like 7 yards off the ball. What's going on here? It's like, well, you can't press every snap, offense or defensively.
Off coverage has a real big place in the game. There's nothing wrong with it. But yeah, I think the frustration is, okay, it's 3rd and 5.
Yes. And you're playing 8 yards off the ball.
Yeah. In those situations, yeah, it happened too often last year. But in general, so look, there was, I mean, I don't know. I get what Bowen was saying. It just, to me, I didn't think Byard was in the right spot because there shouldn't be space. Obviously, and also you just have to anticipate that Kyler Murray at this point in the league and DeAndre Hopkins, with all he's done, that they're going to quickly recognize things and do what they did. Say, okay, we'll take this then. And then now you make a play on me in, you know, in space, and they didn't. But I do think, in general, there's been very little talk of Bowen this week and all the talk about Downing this week. But I also think that's – I mean, I still think that's fair because I think that the offense was a way bigger problem in 1 week than the defense was.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. But again, as I said Monday, I mean, you gave up 38. So it's not like you're feeling great about the defense. At least I'm not. I'm not feeling great about the defense as they move ahead in this matchup. Now, you know, it's interesting because, you know, if I'm a Titans fan and I hear what Marcus Spears said there, I'm like, man, that does not make me feel good about the way the defense is running operationally. And I think, you know, to Marcus Spears' credit, really good job of kind of dissecting what he saw there. You know, I got all over Marcus Spears yesterday for making up the Aaron Rodgers. That's why the offense sucked, is because Aaron Rodgers wasn't there on April 25th, I guess, for the Packers in week one against New Orleans. This was a pretty good take from Marcus Spears, and I think a really intelligent defensive conversation that they had on ESPN was good stuff. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, but he was wrong on that play, too. Yep. It wasn't one. It was
not one, yes.
But regardless, they made mistakes. They had sloppiness. I would also say that even good defensive performances in a given week, you probably can go find some of that. It's just not going to be perfect. But when you give up 38, to your point, you give up 38. I still think – I don't think anybody should feel great about the defense either. But I feel like there were signs that things could be better. Now, Bud Dupree is a big part of things being better. And Bud Dupree, I mean, limited participation – which is an upgrade from no participation, and they're talking like they, you know, expect to have him. But I'd say there's a little bit of concern there, you know, with the guy coming off the ACL, that it's this little work this week. So we'll see. We'll see Sunday. He played a ton last week, and maybe this week. I mean, they do have decent options. Maybe Rashad Weaver is active this week. I don't know. But that's a little bit of a concern. You know, I think that another thing with Bowen versus Downing, if you want to talk about, first of all, they're both going to be, I mean, it's both internal hires and all this stuff. But you know with Vrabel, you know that he's not bringing in someone who's a good DC because they're a good DC to bring their defense here. That's not happening. So Vrabel's going to hire someone who runs his defense, right? Now, offensively, that doesn't have to be the case. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Vrabel now looks at this offense because it's been so good as his offense. But I think that Vrabel, as his coaching career goes on, will probably have different offenses, OCs, different philosophies, whatever. So like there was less certainty that he would hire from within on offense to me. Based on system. Now, based on how he goes about his business, like, you know, people he trusts, he works with, all that stuff.
Sure.
You see, there's a difference between the two to me. You could have gone out and gotten another OC, and certainly you can find plenty of people who run this version of the West Coast offense too.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans defense and Shane Bowen when we come back. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next.
Right now, the NFL is back, and FanDuel Sportsbooks wants you to get the most out of every play, and that's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every single week. And all you got to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10, and you can get that every single week here on FanDuel Sportsbook. Got the Ravens and the Chiefs coming up this weekend, maybe a Lamar Jackson rushing total in there, Patrick Mahomes yardage through the air. Everything is on the table, and it's one of the many reasons I love betting with FanDuel Sportsbook. It's easy to use, safe, and secure. It is America's number one sportsbook. So if you're new to FanDuel, claim your 30-1 odds on either team to win in the biggest game this Sunday, which is the Chiefs and the Ravens. Just sign up with promo code ROB. Once again, that promo code is ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in states on mobile and web. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Play this past Sunday, and it is that, speaking of fine lines, tough sometimes when you got a guy coming off of an ACL, first game action in a while?
Yeah, absolutely, I do. I think first time really getting into it where it's 100% full go to the ground, the whole shebang. I do think it's a little, there's an adjustment period, right? But I think he'll keep improving. I think the him getting more comfortable with what we're doing defensively, right, and his role and the style, and I mean, it's tough too, man. You're dealing with a Kyler Murray type player, so that kind of plays into it a little bit schematically and just individually. I think that is in their mind a little bit too. But I do hope to see improvement as this thing goes and he gets more adjusted to actually getting back out
there. That was Titans defensive coordinator Shane Bowen yesterday on Bud Dupree and what he saw from Bud Dupree in game one and the process of getting him back on the field and getting him back to the level that we've seen Bud Dupree play at the NFL. I thought Bud Dupree had moments where he looked pretty good on Sunday, but as Shane Bowen mentioned there, the matchup a little bit different with Kyler Murray trying to get that guy to the ground. I mean, the play that we've talked about from Kyler Murray all week long, I mean, Bud Dupree is right where you want Bud Dupree to be. He just missed on Kyler Murray, as a lot of people missed on Kyler Murray on that play.
Yeah, I honestly think that, like, the exact same spot for – I'd put Russell Wilson in there. I think he probably tackles him. I mean, the lateral ability to just hop around people, I don't think anybody can do that quite like Kyler Murray. So, yeah, I think there were some things to like. Now, what you have to hope is that the knee's okay.
Yeah.
That the knee's okay. With Taylor Lewan yesterday, he's talking about sort of compensating for it. And again, you have to expect that, too. It's not just the ACL and the rehab. Then it's, do you favor it? I mean, it has to be in your head, right? It's not just snap of the fingers on your back. So, big health look at Bud Dupree Sunday, too, if he's holding up. Because with Lewan, there's no real concern, as far as I know, about the actual knee. But with Bud Dupree, you go no practice and limited practice the next week. Maybe it's just, hey, you got to be precautionary here. He had a ton of snaps in that first game, but it's a little concerning.
I would say so, especially with the price tag that comes with Bud Dupree as well. That would be concerning, yes, if I'm a Titans fan. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. JD texting in, can I just say how frustrating Todd Downing's comments were yesterday? Quote, getting back to the little things and working on fundamentals. Seriously, in all capital letters, isn't the offseason and practice for cleaning up your fundamental and the little things? During the season isn't the time to teach the little things and fundamentals. The season is preparing for opponents and adding wrinkles to the offense you learned in the offseason. Not that the Titans would know anything about that, because we can't get our players out to practice. JD is frustrated.
JD is angry. Now, so, first of all, I'm going to disagree with JD to some extent on that, because there are little things that are very important all year. And when you have, to your last point there, JD, when you have no Julio and AJ for a lot of practice, especially Julio, but I think also when you have Lewan coming in late in camp, Ben Jones and Nate Davis missing a good 3 weeks, maybe probably 3.5 weeks, injury, and then COVID list, you know, little things – I think it's reasonable to think some little things aren't going to be all tidied up. I mean, those guys just looked bad. Nate Davis is a good player. I'm confident of that. Taylor Lewan's a good player. I'm confident of that. if the only thing you knew about Nate Davis and Taylor Lewan, their football careers, was Sunday's performance, you wouldn't think they're NFL players.
Well, they get cut. Yeah.
Right. So those are little things with them individually that have to be cleaned up. But JD hits on something that I think is also another explanation of the difference in Downing and Bowen and how people are. Shane Bowen gives good answers. Like, again, you can disagree with his answer on the question of the Hopkins touchdown and all that stuff and dissect it and not like it. But he told you a specific stuff of what they were thinking.
Right.
He actually said, yeah, it was hanging down. We were trying to disguise a blitz. Here's the coverage. Here's what happened. You know. You can hate the answer, but he gave an answer. Right. Todd Downing's not giving any answers.
Yeah.
So if they do well this year, then okay. Then no one will care because it's like, yeah, you know, here's some general answers. I mean, he'll talk about individual players if you ask him about them, but he's going to talk more in generalities. And so if things are going poorly, you know, things like the details, but also, I mean, I asked him something about, like, you know, just what went wrong in the first quarter, and he's like, the energy, the intensity would basically, like, the he had another word, urgency. I think the word he used was urgency. And yeah. Then, you know, didn't know why it wasn't there. You've heard a lot about that from other people on the offense too, which is inexcusable, of course. But it's also – it's not a satisfying answer. Downing just isn't going to get into nitty-gritty like Bowen will. And – for fans who pay close attention to this team, that does get frustrating, which I totally understand.
Well, but to that point, I mean, Arthur Smith was the same way offensively. He spoke very much in generalities.
That's true.
Yeah. But he was also very good. Very good offensive coordinator.
He would have his moments, though. He would have his moments. But, yeah, that's a fair point. And, look, I mean, I probably can go – pull up some pressers from the first 6 weeks of 2019, and yeah. Probably some very unsatisfying responses. There's only, I mean, the one thing that Downing isn't going to say, and players on other positions aren't going to say, is that if you don't block, you're screwed.
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, it was hilarious. Like, again, A.J. Brown the other day. By the way, we got to talk about A.J. Brown's Twitter account this last night. We'll get to that later. But A.J. Brown talking about, you know, he was asked about basically what went wrong. So it's an open-ended question. He got asked a few times. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to talk about other position groups. In other words, there's one position group that we all know was bad. I'm not going to talk about it. I mean, Downing said, like, everyone across the board. But it's really, let's be honest here. If you don't block, you are not going to do well. But no one's going to, other than the actual offensive lineman,
right,
going to point that out, right?
Well, Tannehill did as much as he could.
Tannehill did a little bit, yeah.
And he said both on Sunday after the game and on Wednesday as well. You know, they got after us a little bit up front. And I think on Wednesday, he's like, well, you guys kind of saw it. we're taking some hits back there, man. So I think as much as Tannehill could say, he kind of said it.
Yeah, and is that going to piss off anybody on the offensive line?
I mean, surely to God you know what happened on Sunday if you remember that offensive line.
I mean, if there was a film session that I could have gone fly on the wall for, the Keith Carter session with those guys, I mean. But it's also, it's so bad and it's so contrary to what they've been that it's not like you say, okay, means nothing. But it's one that you feel like you can flush, and that another week of practice here, I'm guessing it won't be nearly that bad. If it is, well, hey.
We got a problem.
So, yeah, I mean, sometimes players just fall off the cliff. That's possible. But I'm guessing that it was a kind of a combination of factors, some of which are not really anyone's fault.
Yeah.
I know it's hard when you're that bad on the football field. Some people do not want to hear that there isn't culpability in every single crappy thing that happened, but There's some stuff with Jones and Davis in particular, and I think Lewan, that I think you can give a little bit of cushion right now. A little bit. And then you hope that it looks way different Sunday.
How dare you not overreact? This has been overreaction week all week.
Well, we're at the end of the week.
And now you're sitting here being a little bit more reasonable on Friday.
Well, we're at the end of the week. It's just like the beginning of next week.
You're waiting to overreact for week two.
Well, there's that. And also, like, the beginning of next week. It'll be like how the Vols have no chance against Florida. And by Friday, it'll be like all the reasons. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, though. What about this? What about this? You know, you got to. It's like the week transition.
Chris on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you don't block, you're screwed. I think that should be on a T-shirt. Should we get back to exotic smash mouth football?
Yeah.
Long live exotic smash mouth football.
Malarkey didn't actually coin that, right?
I think he did.
Did he?
I'd have to go back and look. I mean,
that was
that
in
came
place.
From somewhere in that building. I just can't remember where.
So that was already in place when I got here. But I thought that, yeah, I thought someone else coined that. Hey, you know what that was? That was good offensive line play, two good running backs, and Marcus Mariota great in play action and great in the red zone.
Well, you know what the Titans kind of played last year with a 2,000-yard rusher? A little bit of exotic smash-mouth football,
sure.
Man.
I mean,
it's an identity.
I mean,
it's a way of life.
Anything today, like anything that's modern, and this offense is, it has modern elements that everyone has around the league, but then also is run-based. I mean, that's probably a pretty good term for it, right?
Exotic smash mouth. There were some T-shirts for that.
Bring it back.
Maybe you're onto something. If you don't block, you're screwed. Maybe you should make that T-shirt.
That is pretty good.
We are. I mean, We've got some T-shirts here on this show.
We do.
That could be number three.
I'd wear that T-shirt.
I would, too. When we come back, we'll switch gears. We'll get into the Tennessee Volunteers. Look ahead to the game coming up this Saturday. Who's going to play quarterback for Tennessee? We'll get into that and all the more and a lot more from Josh Heupel. More comments he made yesterday as well. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.